Fab Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. It's Good Friday, into the weekend, and Tom Candiotti is going to join us from San Diego at about 10:30. The Diamondbacks, not good, but more important than that, I mean, 10 games in, they're 3-7. Okay, you can fix that in a hurry. I'm more concerned about Zach Greinke's pitching tonight. This is his third Diamondback start, and his first two starts have not been pretty by any stretch of the imagination. Tom's really good. We'll talk with Tom Candiotti. That comes up at 10:35. Goody at the movies. So Bill is in Dallas. How is it you rent a car at one airport and you've got to get to the other airport? I don't know. So I don't know if we're going to have Bill or not. It sounds like he's in it's a cluster, right, Eric? That's the best way to put it with Bill right now. We're just not quite sure.
He flew into one airport, thought the rental car was there. The rental car is at the other airport. If you've ever been in the Metroplex of Dallas-Fort Worth, DFW and Love Field are not that far away, but if you're going to take a taxi with all the construction on the freeways, you might as well just sell your house. So,
that'll be fine.
I don't know what he's going to do. I mean, apparently he was considering just biting the bullet and paying the extra like $85 a day for the convenience factor. But
what I like about this is like the really pulling the curtain back behind the scenes. Guys, doesn't matter if it's our show or any show, there's always hoops and hurdles. We don't have too many with many of our guests. That's why Eric likes most of our insiders. Most of our insiders don't find themselves trying to rent a car at one airport and then have to be at another airport. Doesn't mean he doesn't like Bill. Just means it's Bill.
Oh, it's Bill, yeah. He makes this show somewhat of a reality TV program from week to week, because if I could show our audience the various text messages Bill and I exchange during the week. It's on, it's off, I can do it, no, I can't, yes, I can.
Screening.
Hey,
screening.
By the way, I'm going to be on it. Yeah, I'm in a screening, I'm going to be on an airplane. Screening. No, I can do it.
Yeah.
Can you move a guest around? Yeah, well, such
it's
is
fine.
Life.
That's why we love having Bill here on the show. And Jungle Book comes out today. He's not seen it, but he's talked to enough people. He's seen some other stuff. But I do want to talk to Bill. I don't know if you guys saw this, that AMC is going to allow text messaging during movies. Okay, this is going to sound kind of like old man get off the yard deal. You go to the movie to watch the movie, but I know that there are people that are the millennials, my kids. They don't pull their phones out. They can hold their attention for 2 hours. If I get repeated buzzes, I will step out. I'm not going to be one of those fools that opens up their phone. And yeah, I'm going to use the word fools like Bruce Arians. Okay, that's my Bruce Arians cameo for the day. Fools. Fools! I'll step out and check it out. But I want to talk to Bill about that, because this is going to happen. It's going to impact you guys. Most of us like going to the movies. Vin Scully did something last night that I'm going to use a little later in the show that was so good. Like, there's nobody even remotely in his class when you see what he did last night. And it wasn't around the Dodger. Like, it's pretty easy for hometown announcer guy to just to be hometown announcer guy. It takes a special person to weave in a story as good as Vin Scully's around Nick Ahmed. He weaved a story around Nick Ahmed last night that I don't think anybody could touch. Nobody. It was so brilliant. So then we'll get to the schedule. Let's actually start there with the Cardinals schedule. So schedules are always fun. Now people can make their plans. They can make their plans for their weddings, their bar mitzvahs, whatever it is that they're making plans for. We can all make our plans for the rest of the year, because we know that if we're living here in Arizona, that there's going to be some Sundays where there will be some people that will make their plans to check out the team. They may want to go to the game. Most will stay home and watch it. And the experience at home is what, you know, the NFL is fighting with. And when you have schedules like this, when you open up with Tom Brady on a Sunday night for a national audience to see, that means you've arrived. They're not going to put some slouch team on there. That's just how it is. So they open with New England, a great opener. They've got Tampa Bay the following week, so we get to see Jameis Winston here. We also get to see Dirk Cutter come back. That'll be a very interesting conference call, the Dirk Cutter conference call that week. They go to Buffalo. So I look at the first three games. I think they're 2-1. We play this game of wins, losses. What do you got here, E? I got 2-1.
Yeah, I'll take 2-1, too. It's always more difficult, though, to do this with the NFL, because in the NFL, they're all pros. In college, you can look at a team that has a bunch of guys coming back, and kind of put the schedule up and say, yeah, I have a pretty good idea within a game or two of what the record's going to be.
Yeah.
We all expect the Cardinals to be very, very good.
We screwed that up with ASU last year. Neither one of us had six losses.
True.
Just so we're fair on that.
But we also didn't realize that ASU would be so porous defensively.
That's right.
So.
Okay, so you have New England as a win or a loss?
I have New England as a...
I have it as a win.
I have it as a win as well.
Tampa Bay, I have as a win.
I do too.
I have Buffalo as a loss.
I have it as a win simply because it's in September and not December.
They're better than Buffalo, okay? But it is the 10 a.m. game. So if it was the
travel across country, blah blah blah.
If it was the 1 o'clock game, and people that think that I'm over analyzing, no. When they have 10 a.m. games, usually, not always. You can go back to last year they did this, and you're wrong. Well, fine, knock yourself out. By and large,
yeah, the body clock doesn't really function well for West Coast teams because
when they go back east,
yeah,
for those early starts. So I think that one's going to be a disappointment. Come home to the Rams. Boy, the Rams are good. I don't know what their quarterback's going to be like. And I think a lot of this depends on if the Cardinals' secondary, if Chandler Jones, if Calais Campbell, if they have a pass rush, they have the Rams. If the Rams can run the football, their throats.
Rams won here last year.
Yes,
they won in Glendale, but I still take the Cardinals. It's the NFC West opener. They're at home. I'll take the Cards.
All right, so we have them at 3-1.
I have them at 4-0. So.
Yeah, I'm at 4-0. Wow. I'm at the 49ers. They're going to win that game.
Yep.
Thursday night game. They'll win that game. Jets here.
Win.
Yeah. Their quarterback situation is screwed up. They're better than Jets. Seahawks here on a Sunday night.
Loss.
Short week because they play the Monday night game. Yeah. I agree with you on that. I think that's a loss. At Carolina.
Loss.
Bye week. So they go into the bye. What do you have them at?
Two losses. So was that 7-2?
Yeah.
You have them at 8-3.
Yeah. 8-3 for me.
49. Or no, I'm sorry. 7-2. You have them at 6-3.
6-3.
Gotcha.
Thanks for keeping track.
Yeah, I can't do math.
They'll win the bye. Then on the 13th, they have the 49ers here. That's a win.
Yep.
At Minnesota.
Tricky game. Still think it's a win.
Noon kickoff. Not as bad with the time change. Okay. Not as bad. Body clock. I have them winning that game. At Atlanta.
Oh, this is so tricky.
Yeah, because you make these two long trips. You make these two long trips. And, you know, part of me thinks Atlanta is going to be one of those teams that just completely implodes. Completely. Like, they showed some signs. And then they go back to being the stinking Atlanta Falcons, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of feel like this is going to be a change at quarterback at the end of this season, that what's gone on down in Atlanta, the pressure is going to start to mount because they've already changed coaches, and the order usually goes like this. Blame the coach, then blame the quarterback. Kind of the Andy Dalton effect going on in Atlanta. You like that one? I have them winning that, though, somehow. Redskins here. Now, what are the Redskins going to look like late in the season? That's a playoff team.
It's a win. It's a home game. It's a win.
Boy, you're such a homer. Back to Miami. Okay, I have them winning that one, too.
Got them at three losses so far.
At Miami?
That's a win.
So you got them flying all the way back cross country. I think they should win that game. Saints at home, they win.
Yep.
At Seattle.
It's got to be a loss. Went up there and beat them last year in Seattle.
Christmas Eve.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if that
weather,
matters anyway.
Weather could be really bad.
Weather could be bad. Could be. I have them winning that game.
Okay. So we each have them at four losses, I believe.
And then they finish on New Year's Day at L.A. against the Rams. No matter how this plays out.
You didn't give your Rams pick. I got it as a win. 12-4.
Oh, I have it as a win.
Okay.
I think they're gonna split with Seattle. I think they sweep the Rams this year. Okay, I think that look having their if up front, Mathis gives them a better offensive line. I think they address center in the draft. Me, it's if you're playing the wins and losses, I think about four losses probably. Now, it depends on all the injury stuff. You look at you look at the defenses that they're going to face early in this season. Anytime you play Rex Ryan, as much as I'm not a fan of his, and some people, if he's your coach, you're a fan of his. If you're not, they may be just horrible, and he may be coaching for his job this year, which is probably going to be the case. That stretch, though, where they go from the Monday night game with the Jets to the Seahawks to Carolina, and I know the Jets, you look at and say, oh, it's the Jets. That's still a brutal three-week stretch to me because you have all the national stuff going on. To me, playing on Sunday Night Football is a bigger deal than playing on Monday Night Football now. I don't think Monday Night Football is as big a deal as it once was. And look, the Sunday night crowd, you're not on cable. You're on over the air. You're on NBC. They're going to promote the heck out of it. NBC is going to be coming off the Olympic Games, so they're going to have gigantic, gigantic numbers of people watching their network. Just huge numbers at NBC. So, yeah, you know, it's fine to be on Monday Night Football. I think being on Sunday Night Football is a better deal. The Thursday night package, it's the most watched television night of the week. And they found their way over on Thursday night as well, that 49ers game. So they have 3 weeks where they're in prime time. That's pretty darn impressive. So four losses. And you know, we roll the tape. It's kind of like me with the Diamondbacks and 89 wins. It's fun that some of you have already taken to great cheer and joy to get on me on Twitter. You don't know what you're talking about. You're a bleep. You're a, you know, it's fine. It's fine. Knock yourselves out. Up next, Vin Scully did some stuff on the air during last night's Diamondbacks game that was fascinating. And Johnny Manziel is going to be fired by Drew Rosenhaus. This latest Johnny Manziel story, come on, you can't get out of your own way. And also some draft stuff, too. That's next. I'm Brad Sismat. All right, Tom Candiotti in a couple of minutes from San Diego. Greinke pitches tonight. If you're a sports fan, not just a Diamondback fan, and you haven't seen Greinke pitch yet, and he's not been good, but he's paid a whole boatload of money, so the expectations are really high on him. I don't know. Is he going to go down the rabbit hole if he loses tonight? You think that is he going to take the blue pill or the green pill? Are we going to get to that point with him?
It's a fair question. Of all the teams, you really have to think playing the Padres in San Diego in a pitcher's park at night where the air is going to be damp. I mean, this should be the game where we see the old Zach Greinke. Unless the ball is elevated, he's missing his spots, blah, 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 then we could be in for another 8-6 game.
They struck out 16 times yesterday, the Padres did, against the Phillies. Volquez was just killing them.
Diamondbacks have lost three series now.
No, they're...
Played three, lost three.
They're not good. They're not good. And anybody, you know, 3-7 and three errors last night, that's... But there was this moment in last night's game, and I'm going to go over to the Rams and their quarterback stuff in a second, but there was this moment in last night's game. So let me set it up for you. Those of you that watch me through the years know that I have this affinity for Vin Scully, that he's far and away the best baseball broadcaster that's ever been on the face of the planet. People from the East Coast vehemently disagree with me. Wherever you've come from, you'll say your guy is better than the next guy. I grew up in Southern California, so I was blessed to hear Dick Enberg do the Angels with Don Drysdale. I was blessed to hear Vin Scully along with Jerry Doggett and Ross Porter. I was blessed to hear Ted Leitner and Jerry Coleman and Bob Chandler. I mean, some really good, fun play-by-play baseball guys. Chick Hearn, I mentioned this yesterday, was a camp counselor of mine, poured himself into me for a period of my broadcast career. Bob Miller, great voice, the Los Angeles Kings. Joel Myers, terrific guy that mentored some of us. Al McCoy here in the Valley has been a mentor to me. The late Tom Dillon was a mentor to me. If you're being mentored by those types of guys, I think you're in a good place. You got a mentor, though, at the same time. Just a deep thought there. That takes me to last night. I'm watching the Dodgers-Diamondbacks game. And I'm watching it over on Fox Sports Arizona. This is nothing towards those guys, okay? They're just not Vin Scully. And they would admit to that. And I start seeing on social media, you're hearing Vin Scully about Nick Ahmed. And then a short time later, it was posted on MLB.com. So that's the backdrop. Vin Scully doing the play-by-play on television with the Dodgers at the plate. And this is what happened when Scully talked about the Diamondbacks shortstop.
We were looking up something that we had discovered years ago, and especially comes to mind, since Nick Ahmed has a base hit to drive in the run, he wears number 13. 1-1. It's an untrue, old-fashioned belief that number 13 is an unlucky number. It's a worldwide belief, but it does not hold up. That's a strike. You'll almost never see a room numbered 13 or any hotel or motel with a 13th floor. But think the other way about number 13. Look at the dollar bill, for instance. America relies on God, not a number, to direct and lead. There were 13 original colonies, 13 signers of the Declaration of Independence, 13 stripes on the flag, 13 steps on the pyramid on your dollar bill, 13 letters in E pluribus unum. On that dollar bill, there are 13 stars above the eagle, 13 bars on the shield, 13 leaves on the olive branch, 13 fruits, and if you look very closely, 13 arrows, another foul ball. And finally, if you're looking at the dollar bill, notice the arrangement of the 13 stars in the right-hand circle. You'll see that they are arranged as a Star of David. So nothing wrong rooting for number 13.
During a baseball game. There's a fastball, 1-1, you know. No, it's that. That is what you get. So good. Like, I'm hearing it, and I had to play it back. And then I played it on my way into work this morning a couple of times. I've got a bit of a commute. So I was able to just play it and hear it back and laugh out loud and say, that is what a broadcaster is. Has nothing at all to do with the game. Don't need to know about the location of Robbie Ray's changeup. Don't need to know that. I need to know that there's somebody who's sitting there that sees everything other than just the game itself and can weave it in on baseball. That's what baseball's all about. And the thing is, Eric, he still sounds so good.
He does.
That you're thinking, why is he retiring?
The best part of his little speech, or I don't know what you would call that, is the perfect natural transition, as you mentioned, from a quick snippet of the play-by-play, seamlessly back into the story, pause, pitch, ball two, seamlessly back into the story. And because it's TV, like you said, you don't need to, people are viewing the game. You don't need to overanalyze every pitch.
Right.
When the ball is put in play, describe the action.
Sure.
I mean, he's serving as the play-by-play person as well as the color analyst, but what that was Vin Scully's own unique version of giving color analysts on something other than the game itself.
Well, but here's a little bit further on that. Every good broadcaster has to prep. Now, there are some guys that can come in and take just a show, just take some notes, what we call them in the biz, and they got it, and they go on the air, and they do their thing. I remember when Joe Garagiola and I traveled together for the year that I did the Diamondbacks, and I would see Joe's prep being, he would go into the locker room, and he would go up to the young player, and he'd encourage him, and the young player couldn't believe he's talking to Joe, and then Joe would talk to the young man, and the young man would give him something that he'd use in the broadcast. You know, every coach would see him and give him stuff. And that was his way of preparing.
And play-by-play guys have flip cards that you'll see in football,
yeah,
where the offense on one side, defense on the other. But, yeah, there's a lot more to just going on the air and calling the game.
Al McCoy will show up at the Suns Arena at 4:45, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and he'll talk to some people, and he'll always do his interview with the coach. And that's the way it should be. And every guy prepares differently for that. I, at times, miss doing play-by-play. I love doing this, but I think it makes me more complete when I'm able to do some games. So I try to stay active. I'll do the soccer this summer, probably. And because I think soccer is an emerging sport. I'll do some basketball, some games show up. All of us want to be able to spin that type of story, but here's the better part to it, I think, in watching that, Eric. If you notice the first part when he's weaving his story, the director and the producer were not doing anything on Nick Ahmed. Like, they had to, the first 15 seconds, it's Robbie Ray pitching to somebody at the plate. And then they find Nick Ahmed because Vin is telling the story, so we got to find it. Now, I don't know, when they have these meetings beforehand, if Vin says, hey, I've got a great story on Nick Ahmed I want to weave in tonight, which would then make me think, okay, did that hit him at 7 o'clock this morning? Oh, there's a player wearing number 13. I should come probably talk about something. That couldn't have just come off the top of his head. He had to have prepared that and thought through that. That's just so good. Right down to, you take a dollar bill out, something that every last one of us have. So every last one of us have a dollar bill. So that's a relatable thing. We could pick up a dollar bill and look at it. That caught my eye last night. It was good stuff. Because the team's not very good right now. Johnny Manziel. Johnny Manziel. Remember when Johnny Manziel was like trending and really cool, and anything related to Johnny football was the greatest ever, and we're going to debate him on all of our debate shows over on ESPN, and we're going to be at Johnny football for this and that. And now Johnny football is a joke. Johnny football is just a punchline. Johnny football is just a guy who screwed it all up. He's gotten so bad that Drew Rosenhaus, of all people, said he wants to remove himself from being Johnny Football's advisor. If you get fired by Drew Rosenhaus, I don't know. I mean, that's, you can't go much further than that. So it sounds like Johnny Football has seen the movie Hangover a few times. I don't know if there's a chicken and a baby missing a tooth, but Johnny Football and his friends threw a wild two-day party at a rented L.A. house and caused $32,000 in damages. Police were called to the house on April 6th. There's pictures of the house strewn with stains, broken glass, alcohol bottles, and what appears to be drugs. Johnny Manziel has been served with a legal demand for the damages by the lawyer of real estate firm L.A. Exotic Life, of course it is, which rents vacation properties. Mr. Manziel threw large parties on both nights, causing extensive damage. Evidence suggests Manziel and his guests were consuming drugs and alcohol and that they caused a disturbance in the neighborhood. So here's a guy that that is just a punchline now. You know, when Ryan Leaf came into the NFL with all the praise and all the ablomb, and Jamarcus Russell came along into the NFL, this big, strapping young man who's going to be able to turn it on, and he's going to turn the NFL world upside down. Those guys failed on the field. And Ryan Leaf, to a certain extent, failed off the field. Johnny Manziel's just failed at every last bit of this whole deal. I mean, right down to, they'll do a 30 for 30 on him. Like, I was watching Shaq's 30 for 30 last night. It was pretty good.
Okay. I've got it on the DVR. It's going to be popping onto my TV probably some point this weekend.
It was pretty good.
I haven't watched the Bobby Hurley one either.
It was a little, you know, the thing on the Shaq one was it was a little long. It just was a little long for me because we saw Shaq here and there was a certain amount of phoniness to Shaq when he was here. He was just like here, but not really. And that was the start of the beginning of the end of everything that was good about the Suns. I never really bought into the whole Shaq thing, and I don't think he bought into being here. So I got out of it. When they did the Penny Hardaway part, it was really cool. Penny Hardaway stuff was really good. But, you know, the Manziel thing, he'll end up being a 30 for 30. He'll be a punchline somewhere. You would hope somebody would get to him and straighten him out. It's very apparent to this point in time. He doesn't want anything to do with it. He's just cool because he shows up with a wig on in Vegas trying to be incognito. But, man, I got to go get his football jersey because that's my guy. Yeah, he's misunderstood, right? We're going to start hearing that line. He's just misunderstood. It's our fault. Of course it is. It's the media's fault. Yeah, we're picking on this poor kid. Foolish. Tom Candiotti is next. From San Diego, big night ahead for Zach Greinke. And what's going on with the Diamondbacks? That's on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmann. Turn our attention to the Diamondbacks now. I think a big, big game for them tonight in San Diego. Every game is big when you get off to a rough start. But for Zach Greinke to not have a win here going into his third start, You got to start seeing it turn around at some point. Tom Candiotti is with us, Diamondback analyst on the radio side, and it's good to have Tom with us. I know you had a late night, so I do appreciate you getting. We didn't rise you up out of bed, did we? We didn't wake you up to do this, did we?
Well, look, if I wasn't doing this interview, I'd still be sleeping.
Get out of here.
No, we got in about 1:30 or so last night, so not bad at all.
All right. All right. I don't want to have that hanging over my head all day. Okay, so where are we at here with this start with the team, Tom?
Well, I think what we're seeing right now is that first homestand, and we've been saying this quite a bit. We said it all last year. For this team to get better, they got to start winning at home, and it was very disappointing in that fashion that, you know, they didn't have a real good homestand. You know, I think everyone expected a little bit more than that, but also got to remember that the Cubs are a pretty good team. And they played them pretty tough, but still you wanted to at least split that series. They didn't do it. And the Dodgers, obviously tough winning in L.A. That's a tough one. I think we could have won 2 out of 3 there.
Yep.
Really easy. We didn't. And coming here to San Diego now, this is a series that not only do I think we can win this series, but I think we need to sweep this series. You got your three guns going. You got Greinke, you got Shelby Miller, and you got Patrick Corbin going in this series against a team that's been shut out how many times? I don't know, 5 times this year already. So I think it's time for these pitchers to, you know, kind of get their feet under them a little bit. And you got a good pitcher's ballpark, a team that's struggling offensively. And I think this is the time where these guys can kind of get some confidence going.
It's Tom Candiotti is with us from San Diego. He'll be on the Diamondback broadcast tonight on the radio side with Greg Schulte. Appreciate him jumping on board. Are you concerned about Greinke's 0-2 start?
No, not at all. You know, there's times where you have, as a starting pitcher, you know, if this happens in June, no one really even knows at all, other than you've had kind of 2 subpar outings. But there's a lot of focus when it's always the beginning of the season, and I think that's what's happening. I think the first start, when I just analyzed Zach, you know, I thought his ball was up a little bit. I didn't think he pitched inside enough, and I thought his command was off. And, you know, he's not an overpowering pitcher. He needs to have his command to be successful, and it wasn't there for him. It got better the second start, struggled early on. You know, some of those hits were you know, I kind of label as kind of dinkers. But, you know, his command wasn't there. And then all of a sudden he turned it on, and his last 3 or 4 innings were pretty good. And so I expect that to continue here, especially against the Padres. And with Shelby, I'm still trying to get a handle on Shelby. I haven't seen him pitch as much as I've seen Zach over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it seems like he's really fighting himself out there. And so hopefully this will kind of get him, you know, being in a pitcher's ballpark against a team that's not a real good offensive team. Hopefully that'll kind of get him kick-started.
When you're watching Greinke, Tom, is he off just by a little bit? I mean, just like a fraction?
No, he's been missing a little bit for me, the first game especially.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, here's a guy that barely walks anybody at all. He's kind of had a, you know, he's got a little history of that. And, you know, I think he was just a little amped up that opening day. I know how opening days get.
Yep.
And the second start, I thought he got kind of dunked around just a tad. And then, but that's a pretty good team he was facing, a team that puts really good at bats on guys this year, so far what I've seen from the Cubs. And so, you know, hopefully this will get right back to be normality for him. He can relax just a little bit, getting away from Chase Field, because any mistake you make there seems to get magnified, you know, because of the way the ball carries and
yep.
Such a good batter's eye there. You know, you come to a different place, like L.A. or San Diego or San Francisco, he's a great pitcher's ballpark. So hopefully he'll be able to settle in.
I was actually happy that they were getting out of town after the Cubs game, because they've been here all spring training. And, yeah, the series was disappointing. So I'm glad it wasn't like a 9 or 10-game homestand to get things going. Sometimes I think getting away from home is the best thing that could happen. You don't have the distractions of being at home. And some people take that as an excuse, but I think it's real. Like daily life and the microscope that Greinke has been under, maybe it is a good thing for him to get away. And like you said, the Padres, what was it yesterday, struck out 16 times against the Phillies. So it's not like they're facing a team that's not down. They've not been good at all, and this would be a place for him to get healthy. But do you agree getting away was probably a good thing for them or not?
Yeah, I buy with that. I think it's not so much for that. I know it's like you've been in spring training. It seems like forever, and you really haven't had a separation from spring training to the start of the season. But I think more than anything, it's fun to get away as a team because you have a chance to bond. Mm-hmm. You know, you get to know, you get some new guys on the team, and you get a chance to know them a little better when you're having lunch with them every day, and you're at the ballpark every day, and, you know, what are you going to do after the game with them every day, and you kind of band together, you kind of go into a hostile environment, so it's kind of like you against, everyone else in the stadium. That stuff, I think, helps the team bond a little bit. But I think more than anything for the Diamondbacks is I just think that they needed to, to get the pitching going. And to me, you have three really good pitchers' ballparks and against a team tonight in the next couple days that doesn't swing the bat well. Like you said, they struck out 16 times yesterday against the Phillies. But, I will say that Velasquez, your guys are going to hear a lot about that guy because yep. He is filthy. So he's, he might be this year's, who knows, Jose Fernandez, So, but he's really good. But anyway, you don't ever want to underestimate your opponents, but you certainly like the way you're setting up the series right now.
At some point, are the Dodgers and Diamondbacks going to have a dust up to get this out of their blood, or is this just the way it's always going to be?
It's going to be like that. It's kind of funny. It was kind of all dead. And then, a couple hit batters. And I will say not any of those hit batters, any of them on either team was done intentionally or as a payback. None of them were. But that was just part of the game where they were getting hit. And sure enough, when guys that have been around that have seen that before, they get riled up.
Mm-hmm.
And I know being an ex-player that, even when things aren't done intentionally, you still have to protect your players as a pitcher, and you still have to, get one of their guys. That's just kind of the way it is, because if you don't, you lose respect of your teammates, and no pitcher ever wants that.
Before I let you go, so I actually was encouraged by what I saw out of Robbie Ray, and even early with Ruby the other night, and then the errors and all that stuff. So away from the pitching, I could get in the bullpen, all that stuff. From a position player standpoint, what do you like? What's got you scratching your head a week into the season, week and a half into the season?
Well, I really love the way, Nick Ahmed has played. He has been outstanding out there. He's really hitting the ball, and I think he's really taken to the number nine spot in the order. Mm-hmm. Last year, a lot, he had a hit in front of the pitcher. And that's tough, as a pitcher, you don't have to give him anything to hit, and he's kind of a free swinger anyway, not real disciplined, doesn't have a real disciplined approach. Now I think he is really thriving in that number nine hole. He's hit the ball out of the ballpark. He just seems like he's so comfortable in that spot right now. So I've really liked what I've seen of him. Jake Lamb, I thought, has had some really good at-bats. I think he's nailing the ball. In fact, he had a ball last night that, Greg Stark called it, and I thought it was halfway out of the stadium, mm-hmm. and that ball died out on the warning track. But he really put a good charge into that ball also. So I'm pretty happy with, that left side of the infield's been excellent. Goldie's going to get a lot better than what he's hitting. He's got that track record, obviously.
Yep.
And of course, Segura has been tremendous in that leadoff spot.
Now, it's early, but I do think this is a big start tonight for Greinke. I really do. I don't want to overestimate and say it's the biggest start ever and all that stuff, but just get it out of the way against a team that's been scuffling. And as you said, with the big guns coming in this weekend, anything short of a sweep, if they play well, if they don't boot the ball around or whatever, I think they should come out of there in good shape. So I appreciate you coming on.
You got it, man. Anytime.
Stay well, Tom. Safe travels. There's Tom Candiotti with us. Diamondbacks color analyst. That is tonight, Diamondbacks and the Padres. Goody at the Movies is next. Bill's Adventures on the Road. That could be a movie. Bill's Wild Adventures. That's next. Now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, and it's ready, time, ready, set, go for the big sports weekend. You have to have some movies, though. Really not a big sports weekend when you think about it, other than Greinke's pitching tonight. Let's go to Bill Goody-Kunz. Goody at the Movies The adventures of Bill take us to Texas today. Where are you right now?
I'm in Irving, Texas.
Yeah.
Very close to where the old Irving Stadium was, which does, I guess, does not exist anymore. They got rid of it. There's no trace of it.
Why are you there? Why there? Why Irving?
I am there. I am with my daughter on yet another college visit to All talk right. about volleyball.
Smart. Smart. Good man. Good man. Okay, let's get to this AMC texting thing right off the top, because when I saw this earlier this week, I'm thinking, am I old man, get off the yard? Okay, it's 2 hours where you've got to put your phone down. You can't pull it out and text. And now AMC is suggesting, we have some tweets here, I think, on this, that they're going to allow texting. What do you know about this? What do you think about this?
Well, I know that the uproar was incredible, and they today backed off.
Really?
they just an hour or two ago, they decided that they're not going to do it. And they said, not going to happen, not going to happen now, not in the future, not in the near future. Which makes me think it's not going to happen now. But don't you have the idea that it's inevitable at some point?
Well, sure. It's like you've been to that the Scottsdale Theater, and there's a couple of them where you actually have people come in that wait on you during the movies. You know,
I don't like those. But
I don't like those either. I don't want somebody leaning into me during a movie saying, would you like another drink, or would you like some nachos, and then bringing me something to sign right in the middle of a key part of the movie. I don't want that.
Or the person in front of me. I mean, that's
yes.
what I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No,
have
true.
To do with me.
Yeah.
No, I think that the point is, and people will say, well, you know, if they want to give them their own theater, if they want to give them their own section or whatever, you know, what's the harm? The harm is that then you're not really watching a movie. The point of going to a movie in the theater is to sort of get immersed in the experience of it, you know, to sort of get in there and feel it, and this communal thing. If you want to text, wait till it comes out on DVD. And I'm not saying that that's not fun. That is a fun way to watch a movie. I mean, as
sure.
you know, we talked many times about how much fun it is to watch the Super Bowl or the NBA Finals or Cubby's last game and you know, be a part of this big community that's texting about it, or that's twittering, you know, putting tweets out about it. That's fun. But it's not. It's a different experience. People make movies. The good people who make good movies, they make them in such a way that you need to pay attention. You need to, you know, you need to know what's going on. You need to see. Pretty much every frame should have some information in it that's important to you.
Yeah, to pull out your phone. If my phone beeps repeatedly, then I do walk out. I don't sit there for a full 2 hours because I got family. It may be an emergency. There are those things that happen.
Right, but, right. Of course.
But you're not
tweeting Eric saying, wow, you're not going to believe what just happened.
Oh, I do that all the time. I'm sitting next to Bill, and Bill's asleep. He's got drool coming out of his mouth. He hates this movie. No, I'm just kidding. I'm talking with Bill Goodykoots, Goody at the Movies. You have not seen Jungle Book, correct? You have not seen it.
I have not, but okay. I heard it's great.
Yeah, I mean, what are you hearing? I'm hearing that it's like must see, and so I'm thinking tonight I may end up dragging my wife's supposed to go on a mother son date, and I'm thinking of bumping the son off and taking her myself. You know, I hear it's that good. What are you hearing?
I heard it's really good. That the animation is incredible. That Bill Murray is great as. Balloon the Bear, and then just the whole thing is—it's like I think that people went into it kind of with low expectations, right? Like a remake of a live-action remake of like a sort of a beloved movie doesn't necessarily sound that great, but supposedly it's just fantastic.
All right. Well, I'm gonna go see it. Anything else? Steph Curry. You want to talk about Steph Curry a little bit?
Steph Curry, I told a friend of mine just the other day that when all is said and done, my only claim to fame is going to be that I went to high school with Steph Curry's mom.
What? Get out of here.
I did. She went to Radford High School. She was a couple of years younger than me, and she played volleyball at Virginia Tech, which is where she met Bill.
That's a good... That's good.
I mean, that's good athletic family. I mean, that's, you know.
Do you hit her up for tickets or any of those things? I mean, weasel back in for an interview or something? Hey, do you remember? Would she remember you?
She would remember me. Yeah, I think so. I mean, we went to a really small high school.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we didn't hang out. I mean, I was really good friends with her cousin, Steve Snell, who's a basketball coach in California. And he and Steph Curry. See, I've got all these little tangential ties to me, but I've never actually met the man myself.
Yeah. When you show up at the autographed basketball, I know you finally cashed in on that. So that's the way it works. Before you get out of here, so you're taking your daughter for college visits. Do you grind these people? Like, I grinded the person who was on my daughter for the soccer scholarship. Do you grind them?
I ask questions. I'm respectful, that sort of thing.
All right. All right. Well, safe travels around the Metroplex.
Okay.
Talk next week. See
you. All right.
It's Bill Gutekunst taking time out from being a dad. That's cool stuff there. By the way, it is today national. Today is the first day you can have a contact period. That's why Bill is on the road with his daughter. What I mean by that is today, if you are a college, you're out at high schools. If you are Matt Dudek at the University of Arizona, their recruiting coordinator, or you're Donnie Yannis at Arizona State, their football recruiting coordinator, today is an enormous day for contact. So we'll know a lot more on the recruiting front, and some of that will show up in the recruiting roundup that Jared and Jason do. We have our Brad Sussmat Football AZ show that airs tonight on Fox Sports Arizona. Jordan Hamm has a really good piece on a high school kid that's a two-sport athlete. We should have more of those, football and baseball, over at Sandra Day O'Connor. Also, Chris Cartman on ASU and spring football, and Dan Bickley on the Cardinals, and we'll go through the Cardinals schedule. That's all tonight on Fox Sports Arizona. Have a good weekend.